You've got ideas, you've got ambition, you've got no time, or so you think. I'm Marissa Lonick, and I help busy moms with big dreams and no time. Join me each week as I dive into time management strategies, goal setting and achieving framework, and inspiring guests who are juggling mom life, work life, fill in the blank life. Dreams don't work unless you do, and just because you're a mom doesn't mean you can't still make it happen, whatever it means to you. Welcome to the Mama Work It podcast. Hey, mamas, and welcome to another episode of the Mama Work It podcast. I am so excited today to introduce you to our guest, Michelle Perta. Michelle is a life and marriage coach for moms. She's also a wife herself, a mom of three, and a lover of food. She helps women who have lost themselves in motherhood and want to be happier and love their life and marriage more than ever before. She specializes in empowering women to own their self-worth, up-level their communication skills, and to lead their marriage into a happier and more harmonious future. Can we just take a minute to collectively all say a big amen to that girl? Michelle, I am so pumped to chat and can't wait to hear all the incredible tips and insight you are going to be sharing with us. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here with you.
Okay, first things first, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little more about you and how you got started as a life and marriage coach?
Yeah, so I mean, you've already shared a bit about me. I'm also in California, not too far away from Marissa, and born and raised in the Bay Area. And I started out as a life coach, a life and marriage coach for moms, because I saw a void that needed to be filled. Us moms need all the support that we can get. And I just know how much of an influence our marriage has on our children and on our own happiness. And so I kind of went the life coach route, then quickly realized moms were my favorite group of women to help. No offense to men, but I love helping moms, and it makes sense because my clients now are essentially who I was when I had kids. When I first had kids, I should say. I did the, you know, backwards work, and I was like, wow, that makes sense because my parents' marriage heavily influenced how I showed up in all of my relationships and how I always felt like, how come I can't be happy like these other couples? What's wrong with my relationships? And I would do what most people do, right? We are a direct reaction to our parents' marriage. So my parents' marriage was not healthy. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't healthy. They didn't communicate. My mom did the whole, you know, let it simmer, and then explode. And then my dad just did what he did. He liked to have fun, and he, you know, they were complete opposites, whereas my mom was like the martyr. She did all of the things for the house, for the kids, didn't ask for help, but then would be resentful. And it's no wonder they got divorced eventually because they were not compatible, but also they weren't communicating or prioritizing their relationship once they had kids. Like, if you had to ask me how many times did you see them be affectionate, I could probably count on one hand how often I saw it, right? And so because that was my quote-unquote normal growing up, I took that with me into all my relationships. And like I said earlier, we are a reaction to what we witnessed. And so I thought, well, she didn't say anything, so I'm going to just say all of the things. I went to the exact extreme opposite end of communication, but that wasn't good either, right? I was the kind who would just nag, complain, blame all of the time, and take zero accountability. So saying my communication skills sucked is an understatement. And that really, played a huge role in my happiness in the relationships as I got older. And only once I realized that I was the common denominator in all of those relationships did I start to turn inwards, to do the healing, to do the self-work. And then I had a kid, right? And I had a kid in an untraditional sense. I became a stepmom before I became a bio mom. And I was like, I'm going to be the best damn stepmom possible. I went super type A on it. I stopped hanging out with my friends because we were in a different place in our lives now. And I stopped doing things that made me. And of course, my husband and I started fighting because I was so focused on being a really good mother figure. Fast forward, we figured it out a little bit. Then we had our first child together. And again, tunnel vision, because newborn status, right? Like, I also had breastfeeding trouble in the beginning. And so I was like, must increase milk production now. So all I cared about was, when do you have to eat? When do you need to sleep? Did I brush my hair? No. Did I care about myself? No. I was just a tired mombie, right? Like, mom zombie. And we started to fight again. Any little thing he did would just set me off. And once my son got older, I realized this is not the type of relationship that I want with my husband. We have this family because of us. Without us, they would not exist. And I'm pretty sure I didn't sign up to be miserable. Otherwise, I would have never had kids. And so, again, did the work, worked on my self-awareness, worked on my communication, and now we have this beautiful marriage where I could truly say we have a conscious partnership. We're both very intentional about each other. We're supportive of us being individuals, but also supportive of us being a couple. And now I want to do the same for any woman out there who feels like their relationship has really been put on the back burner since motherhood began. And that they can be happy again, and that this can be learned and it can be overcome so that they can start to enjoy their relationship, even being parents, and get to be proud of the example that they're setting for their children so that they can be like, yeah, I would love for them to have a relationship like ours. That would be like goals right there. I did my job as a parent.
Oh my God, Michelle. So many truth bombs. I love it. In particular, something that struck me in what you just said, because I have experienced this. I'm sure many moms have experienced this. I wrote about this in my book, Time Momagement. It's that phase when you have a newborn until you're sleeping again, where I called it in my book, probably not the most PC term, and maybe you wouldn't agree with it as a marriage coach, but I called it the hate your hubs phase.
There's a book called How to Not Hate Your Husband, I think, after having kids, something like that.
Yeah, because it is hard in that time to communicate effectively, I think, because you're so tired. Mm-hmm. And if you're a new mom, especially, you are learning all those things for the first time, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, diaper changing, how to soothe your infant, everything. And you are so consumed by this. I mean, your partner just totally gets put off to the wayside, you know? So that is a tough, tough time. And I love that you are helping moms through it because, I mean, I think every girlfriend I have has been through that period. And it is tough. It is really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really tough. I mean, even outside of having a newborn, it's tough to remember to pause and ask yourself, what is it that I need? Why am I getting triggered like this? And when you're on that kind of level tired, you're just like, I don't even want to deal with this. You should know I need help. Or, you know, the whole like, oh, can't you read my mind? We've been together long enough. But girlfriend, that never happens.
Oh, yeah.
He will never be able to read your mind. He can be close to it, but he'll never get to 100%. And so we need to remember to communicate And we need to remember to paint the picture of our expectations, because that, I think, is a big thing where we have this image in our mind, and when it's not fulfilled, we get mad at them. But they're like, we didn't know we were playing that game. I thought I was playing this game.
Right.
They need to know the rules.
Yes, 100%. You can't play the game if you don't know the rules. Absolutely.
Right. So it's setting them up for failure. So yeah, as a new mom, I think, especially if you're expecting, whether it's your first, your second, your third, your fourth, whatever number you're at, it's always good to have the conversation that's preventative. Like, okay, what are we expecting this to look like? This is what I'm expecting you to do to support me once we come home with baby, right? This is what I expect us to do to hang out. Maybe it's less time, right? Maybe it's a different way of hanging out. This is what I expect you to do so that I can get these things done. Like, it's important for me to shower in the morning. So as soon as I feed the baby, I would love to hand them off to you. Be as specific as possible, because this is how you involve your husband to know his role in this. Because if you were to take a look at what it's like to be him, you would probably be sad for him. Like, I'm not saying it's not hard for moms. I'm not saying that at all. It is super hard for us. But as a dad, it's difficult because their bond with the baby technically starts when they meet them. And at that point, it's like you've developed this strong relationship with this child that you've never even met before. And you already have this instinct of what to do. You've done all the research. You've been talking to all the people. Your body has been going through the changes. You've been prepping for this for 10 months, maybe longer if you've been planning, right? And they're like, oh, cool, baby's going to join her family. But they have no idea what that means. They have no idea what's going to happen to you in your journey of becoming a mom. And all of a sudden, it's just like, whoa, where do I fit into this? I can't feed the baby if you're choosing to breastfeed. And now you're grumpy all the time and you're exhausted. And he's exhausted too if the baby's waking up all the time, which most babies do. And they're like, I miss my wife. Where'd she go? What's happening to her? It's a tough transition for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I agree with that. Even though it's hard to see that and remember that, I think, when you are in that mommy phase. But really, really important to consider that. So you're a mom of three. Your kids are 11, 4, and 10 months.
Yep.
And you're a wife. So you're walking the walk. You're not just talking the talk. So tell us, first off, what are some of the challenges marriages typically face when we enter motherhood?
So much. So we already alluded to a big one, right? That's the connection. The quality time tends to tank first because we make this like subconscious decision that, well, our husband or our marriage is involving two adults, two functioning people who can take care of themselves. And so naturally you're going to be like, let's fend for the people who can't. Let's take care of them. And let's give us the leftovers. But that's the downfall, right? So that's a huge one. Another thing is communication. Not communicating either enough or not communicating in a healthy way. You're letting your lack of sleep, your lack of self-care, your lack of expressing your needs and getting your needs affect how you communicate. The compassion tends to tank, right? The empathy tanks. The willingness to communicate tanks. And so, of course, this is going to have the relationship suffer. If you're not putting in the time to continue to build the foundation that you've created, and you're also not sharing what you're needing and feeling, well, yeah. You've now destroyed your foundation. You're now on quicksand. And I think what happens is that a lot of couples take for granted the permanence of the relationship. They assume that, oh, we're in it. We've had kids. We're in it together forever. But that's not true. Your relationship is not guaranteed. Sure, you'll be in each other's lives forever because you have kids now, but that doesn't mean you'll still be married. Or if you don't believe in divorce, that doesn't mean you'll still be happy. What happens 18, 20, 25 years down the road? Will you be strangers? Or will you still be in love? All of that is up to you and the work that you two put in. But we assume it'll be fine. It'll still be there when the kids are older, when we have more time to ourselves. So it's like a waiting thing, like, oh, I'm okay to wait, but it's not talked about. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, I want to dive into the communication a little bit more. So, when I was going through that newborn phase, not with my first, but with my second birth, I had twins the first time. So, with my third baby, but second experience kind of with a newborn at home, I was attending this newborn for moms, no, newborn class for moms. Where we were all just kind of chatting and learning things together. And one of the moms had recommended that we all take the five love languages quiz. So,
Smart woman.
yeah. So, for listeners, if you're not sure what the five love languages is, it is by Dr. Gary Chapman. And he basically gives you this quiz, and your partner takes the quiz too. And you discover what your love language is predominantly, the way that you typically communicate naturally, and the way that you like to receive love, receive communication. And it was very eye-opening. And I'm wondering if this is something that you gravitate toward, believe in. Do you recommend this to your clients when working with them? And tell us a little bit more about how you feel about that.
I 1000% support this. I love that he did the research to put this out in the world. I think it is a huge contribution to society and relationships. I'm a huge advocate for not wasting my time.
Yes.
And I'm sure all moms could get behind that. You know, we grow up watching movies, and that is what we define love to be like. These romantic gestures, maybe it's a little bit of chasing, flirting, whatever, but that doesn't take into account our individual needs. And the five love languages is a really great hack to make sure that the time that you're spending, the effort that you're spending to demonstrate your love is actually being received as such. Like, I would hate to do something and not have it land, right? So, for example, I once had a client, a former client. Her and her husband were complete opposites in terms of five love languages. What was her dominant love language was very low on his list. And so naturally, it was very difficult for them. It required more effort for them to do what's unnatural to them, to do something that they don't necessarily find important or valued, to show their partner love. But until I had them take it, they had no clue. And so here you have two people who love each other but don't feel loved. That's really sad. And so, if you haven't taken this already, I highly recommend you take it. And if your husband is like mine and he's like, I don't want to take that, what I did was I read it out loud.
Oh my God, me too. That's
Yes.
exactly what I did.
I'm like, this is important. I will make it as easy as possible for you. You just let me know which answer resonates with you most. And so that's how we did it. And it was like, okay, it was confirmation that we knew exactly that what we were doing was working. But if you don't have that and you don't feel loved, maybe you don't know until you take that quiz what your favorite way to receive love is. And the way you receive love is likely how you're giving it, but how you're giving it might not be how he wants to receive it. And so, let's not waste your time. Go take that quiz, figure out for sure, and then that can open up a deeper conversation about, okay, in what ways do you prefer I show you love in this love language? Because that could be different as well. We all have different definitions, different visions of what that looks like. And wouldn't you want to know, like, can you give me your manual, please? That would be really helpful.
Right.
And this is a way to do that.
I'm so glad you brought up like the time and efficiency there, because we're busy, right? Us moms, working moms, we're busy. We don't got no time to mess around. So if I get a short amount of time each evening to hang out with my husband once my kids have gone to bed, I don't want to mess around. I want to tell it like it is. I want to use that time efficiently. And the best way to do that, right, is to communicate in the best possible way that the audience, the guy on the other end, is going to receive it the way I intend for it to be received.
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole point of communication, right? Is you're trying to have the receiver get the message you're intending to send, right? And this is no different. You don't want to be like, oh, your love language is words of affirmation. I'm going to vacuum for you. Like, he's going to be like, cool. It needs to be done anyway. What would mean more is if you're like, hey, I really loved how you handled that tantrum the other day. That was incredible. You're such a great dad, right? It matters. It matters. So individualize, personalize how you show your love in exactly the way he wants it. Take the quiz. Yeah. I can't say that enough. Take the quiz.
I know. I'm with you 100%. Okay. What about the moms right now who are listening and feeling like they are just so disconnected from their husbands in this moment? I feel like sometimes you just get so busy with the day-to-day of running your household, caring for your kids, working, all of it, that all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, oh, wait, you're my husband. You're not just like my business partner in this Our Life LLC we're running.
So, I love that.
For the moms who feel like this, you know, what are some tips to get reconnected in their relationship?
Yeah. So first, I would recommend some visioning work, actually. There's a lot you can do to improve your marriage on your own, actually, which is why I only work with moms. I don't work with couples. So I would sit down and do some visioning work. How is it that you want your marriage to be like, given the facts, right? You have X amount of kids. These are the hours that you work. And these are the things that need to be done. Knowing that there's a little bit of flex room with how you do things, whether you choose to delegate, whether you choose to lower your standards, or eliminate things, right? But really imagine what you want that to look like. You have to know what you want in order for you to have some sort of direction to go. And so figure out what that is. Is it like, oh, I want us to connect every night for at least 5 minutes. Great. What would fulfill that for you? Because some people watching Netflix is like, that's like just the same old, that doesn't do anything for me. But others, it's like, I cherish this time together, even if it's watching a show, because we both love it. Perfect, right? You have to find what works for both of you. What is fulfilling for both of you? And a great way to connect while having kids is I like to separate into two different forms. There's micro connection and then there's macro connection. So micro connection is like, I like to use this metaphor of like cleaning, right? There's light cleaning and there's deep cleaning. Both are needed, but if you only do one, that's not going to work. There's a downside to only doing one, right? So micro connection is like light cleaning. That's the, oh, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you a really long hug, maybe a quick makeout session in the closet just for fun. Maybe you're like doing, you know, you're passing by and you're going to give a massage to him, or maybe you're just doing a quick check-in. Okay. And this can work for like 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever time you have. You can be super intentional about, I'm going to be present with you and we're going to do this, right? Like, you've got half an hour, you can do like a coffee break or have lunch together, even if the kids are in the other room playing. And then macro connection would be the one-on-one time where you go on a date. I feel like I'm talking about The Bachelor right now. So That would be a macro connection where you have solid quality time together, whether it's hanging out on the driveway in the car while the kids are asleep and you got the baby monitor with you. Or if you have someone who can come in and, watch the kids, or you could drop the kids off somewhere and you go off and do your own thing, like you don't have any kids. That's like my favorite kind of date. It's like I don't have to keep track of time. I don't have to make sure anyone is fed or anything like that. Or planning a trip, which is a little difficult right now given the pandemic, but once it lifts, that is an option as well. I think that is important because that's when you can have a longer stretch of time truly investing time and energy into you as a couple. And whether it's going deep with conversations, going on adventures to create new memories, like whatever it is that you value in your relationship, go make sure that's a priority.
Those are great tips. I'm curious, what are some ways that you personally practice what you preach? Like, how do you make time for your marriage and for yourself while raising little kids, running your business, and doing all the things that you're doing?
Yeah, so right now, obviously, it looks a little different because I do have a baby and she's the boss. We all know that when we have babies, they're the boss because they don't have a predictable schedule. And so we are living in micro connection land right now. That looks like, oh, she's napping and I don't have a client call or I'm not, recording or anything. I'm gonna just slip up into his work office and give him a solid hug or a kiss and like check in on him, like, hey, how are you doing? How's work? It could look like telling him, hey, let's hang out on this night and scheduling it. Or it could look like, hey, can we cuddle tonight before going to sleep? I don't know about you, but I hate falling asleep to cuddling. It's uncomfortable for me. So like I like to cuddle and then, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna go to sleep now. I don't
Need
know
my
why.
space.
Yeah, I do need my space. Thankfully he understands. And yeah, that's what that looks like right now. Or us having friends over, like our bubble, having the kids occupy themselves, and we can almost kind of like be on a group date, right? The kids are safe, they're having fun, and we're able to be adults, not like parents, right? And really enjoy each other's company. Aside from that, like we're just super intentional. And every few months, I'm always asking, hey, how's your experience in this relationship going for you? Is there anything that you've been meaning to ask for or that you've been needing that I haven't been providing for you? And that's like an open platform for him to be like, okay, actually, this has been bugging me. I just haven't brought it up because life, whatever. Kind of do like marriage assessment with him, and then naturally he will ask me, and then I'll get to share, right? And I think that's really beautiful because we're able to have that level of honesty and transparency and vulnerability and get our needs met and not be blindsided. Nobody wants to be blindsided.
So you're doing like a quarterly check-in.
Yeah.
So smart.
Yeah, it's important to me to know that we're both good.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume. I don't want to assume. And so, yeah, I do those quarterly check-ins. It's not like I schedule it because I now have it like, I don't know why. It's like kind of like when you have an alarm and all of a sudden you wake up like 5 minutes before the alarm. Like that's how that is for us. But yeah, before I would have a little like notification on my phone. How's it going?
Yes. All right. Oh my gosh. This conversation has been so awesome. I want to keep talking, but I know we're running out of time here. So I'm going to jump into our lightning round where I'm going to ask you just some random, just for fun type questions, just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit more on a personal level. Are you ready?
Bring it on. With some
Okay.
hesitation.
Ready or not? All right, Michelle, what is your go-to get shit done song?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I have a whole playlist.
Ooh, well,
I
tell us
have
a
a whole
few.
playlist. What is Kill the Lights is a really great one. I love that. Bruno Mars is awesome. I mean, really, I love music, so this is a hard question for me. Any upbeat song, unless I'm doing work, then I like no lyrics because then I can focus on what I'm doing instead of singing because I like to sing.
Okay. Love it. Okay. What is your guilty pleasure TV show?
Ooh, the Bachelor franchise, 100%. So trashy, but I love it.
You are not my first guest to say that. What book are you reading right now?
Oh, okay. I'm one of those people who like reads a bunch of books at the same time. And so I've started Discovering the Inner Mother. I'm also reading Sahara Rose's Find Your Dharma or Discover Your Dharma. And then another one I'm reading is Rise, Sister Rise by Rebecca Campbell.
Nice. Okay. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm actually, it depends. Sometimes I say I'm an ambivert because sometimes I'm more extroverted, but then sometimes like I'm right in the middle. So I have tendencies to be either.
Okay. Very versatile. I like it. If you could go on vacation tomorrow, anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Hawaii, hello. I would want to go to Maui because I love the beaches there. I also love the food there and it's gorgeous. And who doesn't want to just live a slower life?
Yeah. Okay, nail salon, hair salon, or spa. You can only pick one to visit for the rest of your life. Which one is it?
Spa. I love massages so much.
Yeah. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your
Oh
life,
my
what would
gosh.
it be? Calories don't count.
Girl, that's really hard. Noodles?
Yeah.
I would say noodles. I love pasta. I love Asian noodles. Like, I just love noodles. They're so good.
What's your cocktail of choice?
Cocktail of choice. Typically, I'm pretty simple. I'll take like a scotch and ginger.
Yes, hardcore. What's your one app you cannot live without?
My gosh. Are we talking work here or like personal?
I'll leave that to you.
That's a tough one. I'll say Google Keep because this girlfriend's memory has been taken by all my kids. And
Yes.
so I would not remember anything without that.
Yeah. Hashtag mom brain. Totally.
Yes, struggle's real.
Yes. Well, this has been such a fun chat. I have really enjoyed talking with you, Michelle. Before we head out, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Ooh, I would love to connect with you all if you are resonating with everything that I'm saying. You can either join me in my free community on Facebook. It's called Marriage and Motherhood, and the and is an and sign. Or you can follow me on Instagram at Michelle Perta Coaching. I would love to get to know you better and connect with you and support you however I can.
Great. Well, thanks again for being here, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Mama Work It podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and would love if you could take a quick minute to leave me a review on whichever platform you're listening from, and maybe even send a note to a fellow mama friend recommending it. Reviews and recs help this podcast grow and reach more like-minded, awesome moms. And if you haven't subscribed yet, don't forget to click that button so we can stay in touch, girl. By the way, if you haven't checked out the Mama Work It website, please do. There are lots of free resources and great articles there that can help you with the juggle of work life, mom life, wife life, fill in the blank life. So head on over. Thanks again for being part of the tribe. I'll see you soon, but in the meantime, keep on working it, Mama.